welcome back to 10-4. My name is Brian Keller, and this is episode 20, Downloading and Installing Visual Studio 2010 Beta 1. That's right, we finally released Beta 1, and we're excited to have you download it and install it and kick the tires and let us know what you like, let us know what you don't like, and help us ship a really great product for you. And so in today's episode, I'm going to take you through the process of installing both Visual Studio Team Suite 2010 Beta 1, Team Foundation Server 2010 Beta 1, and of course the .NET Framework 4 will get installed along the way. What we're building today is going to take some shortcuts. It's basically going to help you install everything into a virtual machine, either virtual PC or Hyper-V, that you can use for demo or evaluation purposes. This is beta software, so of course it shouldn't be used in a production environment. We're not going to any great lengths to do any sort of account hardening. You'll see me use a lot of administrative passwords. So again, this is not really the way that you want to set up Team Foundation Server in a production environment, but it's a nice way to kick the tires and see what we've got for you in Beta 1. There's also lots of other different ways that you could configure this. If you read through the documentation, you can install this on Windows Server 2003. You could use a 64-bit image if you wanted to. Team Foundation Server fully supports that. There's a lots of additional configuration options you can turn on, like lab management, which is now in Team Foundation Server 2010 Beta 1, is a really great capability. I just don't have time today to take you through everything, but all the instructions are available if you wanted to install and set that up. So I'm sure I'm missing a few from the list of possibilities, but everything should be documented about what works and what doesn't work if you want to go sort of off the beaten path and install your own environments in a different manner. And so today what you're going to need is Windows Server 2008, SQL Server 2008, and of course the installation media for Visual Studio Team Suite and Team Foundation Server Beta 1. Now the really good news here is that I've been able to find either a trial software or free software that you can download for everything that you're going to do today. And because we're just using this for evaluation purposes anyway, the trial software meets our needs just fine, so you don't have to worry about anything there. Now, what I'm expecting that people watching this video will know is how to work with virtual PC or how to work with Hyper-V if that's the type of image you decide to set up. So if you hear me say things like mount a VHD file or mount an ISO file, if you're not familiar with those terms, just take some time to read the documentation. There's a lot of really great help topics out there that can tell you exactly how to do these things with either virtual PC or with Hyper-V. Also, I'm not going to take you through any steps for turning on Windows Update or installing virus software, so just make sure you do these things yourself to make sure that you stay out of the wrath of the network police or whoever's in charge of making sure that that your network remains compliant. So be a good citizen there. I'll also be referencing a lot of links today, and all these links are available at the 10-4 post for this show. So in order for some of these things I talk about to make sense, you'll definitely want to go visit the 10-4 post for this show, which I've created a tiny URL for. It's tinyurl.com/VS2010Beta1. So that's VS2010BETA1. So be sure to check that out. So for the first step, we're going to go out and download all the software that you'll need for following along at home in order to actually install everything. And so if you go out to that post that I just referenced out on 10-4, you'll find a link to a blog entry that I wrote, which contains all the download links for everything that you'll need today. And so if you take a look at that blog entry, it basically tells you exactly how to take all of the links, copy those to the clipboard, and import those into a tool like Free Download Manager. And Free Download Manager is just a great way to quickly download a batch of downloads. And so you can start downloading those files. It's several gigs, so it'll take a while. There's one file that you can't use the Download Manager for, and that's the SQL Server trial. So step 7 will tell you exactly how to go to their website, and you may have to install an ActiveX control. But once you do, they have their own download manager that they'll use to download SQL Server 2008 trial. So just save all those files, and we will reference them in future steps. Once you've downloaded all the files, then it's time to go ahead and configure your operating system. Now, one of the files you downloaded was a Windows Server 2008 VHD file. Go ahead and extract that file, and then you'll want to mount it either in Virtual PC or Hyper-V. Now, you could choose to set up Windows Server 2008 on a native, on the metal box without using virtualization if you wanted to, but everything that I'm doing here would work either on a virtualized machine or on a native machine if you wanted to. I just like using Hyper-V because it gives me a really nice isolated environment to do things like try out beta software. After we do that, then we're going to set up all of the individual roles that you'll need to support Team Foundation Server, and then we'll also go ahead and disable the account expiration so that the password doesn't expire. And speaking of passwords, this particular virtual PC image or Hyper-V image, the username that you'll be using is administrator, and the password is listed here on the screen. So it's lowercase pass, the @, lowercase word, the number 1. Now, this is not an activated image, so you'll get a lot of messages and warnings saying that Windows Server is not activated. For the most part, you can just go ahead and disregard those messages. You might get some messages saying that it thinks you're running counterfeit software. That's actually normal for unactivated copies of Windows Server 2008, so you can just close those dialogs. You can choose to activate this image if you have your own product key if you'd like, but you don't have to. It will eventually expire, and there's a link in the 10.4 post that goes back to the Windows Server download page that explains more information about this particular image. Additionally, there's a 64-bit version that you can use as well, but in order to use that, you must be using Hyper-V. Once you've gone ahead and mounted the VHD for the first time, then you'll want to launch that image, and the first time you launch it, you'll log in. And if you've never used Hyper-V or Virtual PC before, definitely consult the documentation for how to do things like send, control, delete signals, and how to unlock your mouse cursor. So you'll see what I mean once you get into the documentation. Once you get in there, then the first thing you'll want to do if you're installing this under a Hyper-V image is actually convert it to work with Hyper-V. And so you'll want to run msconfig, and msconfig will give you the option to enable HAL detection. So you want to turn that on. And don't reboot yet, because there's one more thing you need to do, and that is to actually install the integration services. So you can insert the integration services right there off the Hyper-V menu, run that setup, and that'll install all of the capabilities to make it easy to move your mouse in and out of the window, for example. So again, if you plan on using Virtual PC, you don't have to do this first step here, but if you'd like to use Hyper-V, then this is a really nice way to make a better Hyper-V image for you to work with. Once you've done that, then the next step we'll do is actually install your the roles that are required for Team Foundation Server. So from within Server Manager, you want to go to the Add Roles dialog. And from there, you'll get the option to add the web server role. Go ahead and add that, as well as the required features. Say next. And then there's a couple more things you need to add. Application development is nice if you plan to do like ASP.NET development later on. You'll need the Windows authentication underneath the security node. And then go ahead and install all the IIS management tools as well, including IIS 6. And install that. Along the way, I've actually sped up this video, so you may notice that a few of the things in your experience take a bit longer. That's because I've just cleaned up the video and made it a little bit faster. Finally, I'd like to disable the account expiration. This just means that you don't have to constantly change your user account for Team Foundation Server. So once again, from within Server Manager, pop on down to Configuration, Users, and then change the account so that it never expires. So now your base OS is all ready and configured. The next thing we'll do is we'll go ahead and set up SQL Server 2008. So again, you downloaded the SQL Server 2008 trial, so you have an ISO image, and you can go ahead and mount that ISO image. And then within your operating system, you want to launch setup. And setup, if the first time you run it, is going to install some prereqs. So the first thing that it will do is go out and install the .NET Framework 3.5. And so that's a pretty self-explanatory installation. Just takes a few minutes. And then there's also another hotfix you need to install as well. And I found, in my experience, the hotfix can actually be buried behind other windows. So just make sure you close down the other windows until you see that hotfix dialog, and then click on OK. Once you're done with that, go ahead and restart your computer. And then once you come back up, then you'll want to relaunch setup for SQL Server 2008 once again. And when you relaunch it this time, then it should take you straight into the SQL Server installation. And you want to come to the Installation tab, We launch a new SQL Server standalone instance. And then once the setup support files are installed, then you'll get the option to run through the configurations. So you may get a warning saying that Windows Firewall is not configured for remote access. That's actually fine. We don't need remote access here, so that's not a problem. You want to install the Enterprise Edition because that's really the only one that's available in the trial. Accept the EULA, install all the features, all the components of SQL Server 2008. You can keep the default instance. Click Next. And then for the service account, then you actually want to use just the local system account. Again, this isn't really hardened by any means, but it's an easy way to get everything set up for demo and evaluation purposes. You also want to change the startup type to automatic for both SQL Server Browser and SQL Server Agent. And then click Next. You'll need to add the user so that it has the appropriate permissions for SQL Server administration. And so you can just click on Add Current User. It might take a minute here to pop up in the list. And then add the current user again for account provisioning. Keep the native mode default configuration, next a couple times, and click on install. This next phase may take 20, 30 minutes or so, but once you're done, then you should get lots of green checkboxes. Just confirm that everything looks green, and click on next. And you've now completely set up SQL Server 2008. So that's all ready for you to install Team Foundation Server. So Team Foundation Server 2010 introduces a two-phase setup. And so in this phase, the first phase is to go through and actually install all of the bits to your server. And then the second phase is where you actually configure everything. Now, in the future, you'll be able to separate those phases so that you can, for example, install everything on a machine and then come back and configure it later. Maybe your IT department wants to set up an image that has TFS installed, and then you just configure it once it's in its proper home or proper department where it's going to be used. Now, in this particular beta, there is a bug, so you have to immediately, when you're done with the installation, you have to go straight into the configuration or else your SharePoint configuration may get corrupt. And so I'll show you exactly what I mean later. I just wanted to point that out before we get started. So go ahead and mount your TFS ISO that you downloaded earlier. And in there should be a few directories. One of them is for the 32-bit installation, which you'll probably use unless you are deciding to install this on a 64-bit machine. And so open up that folder and then run setup. TFS installation is actually really easy. Accept the EULA, install all the components here, and it's going to copy a bunch of bits to your machine, and then after a few minutes it will ask to reboot, so go ahead and reboot your machine. And once you come back up, setup will automatically relaunch and begin installing the rest of the software that it needs. And then the next screen is really important, so you want to make sure that you do not uncheck the box that's shown here. So don't uncheck this box. You definitely want to launch the configuration tool immediately after you click Finish. And again, that's just referring back to the bug that I mentioned earlier. Just make sure that you do that. And then once you launch that configuration tool, then Team Foundation Server is going to ask you how you want to configure it. Now, there's lots of wizards built in here if you wanted to configure for multiple tier environments or single tier environments. We're just going to take the default configuration today, and then we'll start that wizard. And it's only going to prompt us for just a few input parameters. It's really easy to set up Team Foundation Server now. The first thing that we'll give it is the user account. So again, this is the administrator password for this box. Probably not something you want to do in a production environment, but again, for demo and evaluation purposes, it works for us. And then one of the nice things about setup is it lets you actually test to confirm that, yes, you did get the username and password correct. So then say next a couple of times, and it's going to run some readiness checks. Now, at this point, this readiness check will actually fail because there's one more thing that we need to do. But I wanted to show just how robust the Team Foundation server setup is now. So it's going to fail on the configuration database because it has a problem connecting to SQL Server because TCP/IP is not enabled. And so the really nice thing is you get this nice error message that says, hey, before you set up Team Foundation server, you have to turn on TCP/IP. So no problem. We can open that up. Just go to the SQL Server configuration. So this is the configuration manager that you're launching. And you're going to turn on TCP/IP as a protocol. And then say OK, and then you're going to recycle the service. So when you're actually doing this, you don't have to go through the failed step. You could do this in advance if you want. I just thought it was a nice way to demonstrate just how robust Team Foundation Server is. You're not going to find yourself getting, 19 out of 20 steps through setup and then find out later you've got a problem. It's going to let you know right away that, hey, there's some things that, that we've detected that you need to go fix. So after that's restarted, then you can drop back into Team Foundation Server Configuration Wizard. And just click on retry, and it's going to run all these readiness checks again. This time everything should pass. Occasionally I've seen the reporting step fail at this point. If that happens, it's probably due to a timeout. It's something we're still working on in the beta. Just click on retry again, and it should work for you. But if not, then you may have found a bug, so definitely visit our forums and let us know what your experience is. And now that's it. So we've got Team Foundation Server all set up and configured on this machine. And the next thing that we'll do is actually configure our clients to connect to Team Foundation Server. One of the things that you'll notice is that after you close this dialog, you'll get a administration console that comes up. And this administration console basically gives you the lay of the land and tells you exactly how Team Foundation Server is set up and configured. Previously, if you wanted to do even simple things like change the administrative password or change the system account, that is, you would have had to open up the documentation and find the command line executable and all the arguments that you need in order to make that change. This administration console is going to give you the ability to make a lot of these administration duties really easy right within the tool. You'll notice that we don't have lab management set up here. So again, if you consult the documentation, that's something you could set up additionally if you wanted to. All of your installation logs are built into this. Team Foundation build, if you wanted to set that up, you could do that here as well. But it's just a really nice way to see how everything's set up and configured. So now we're going to set up Team Suite. And so Team Suite is really easy to set up. So again, go ahead and mount that ISO for the Team Suite download that you grabbed earlier. And you're just going to click through the wizard. It's really pretty straightforward. Once you get to the EULA, again, just accept the terms. And then if you want to install managed development, C#, Visual Basic, you can do that. If you want to install C++ development, it's just another checkbox. And then this step is probably going to take between 30 and 60 minutes, just depending on the speed of your machine. Once you get done, go ahead and click Finish, and Visual Studio is all set up and ready to go for you. The last thing that we need to do is actually configure Visual Studio to talk to Team Foundation Server. So if you launch Visual Studio for the first time, you'll be prompted, as usual, to tell us what development environment you want. This will take a few minutes. And once you get in, then you want to drop over to the Team Explorer tab, which is actually installed by default now with Team Suite. And so if you open up servers, then you can connect to your Team Foundation server. A nice and easy way to remember what the address is for this is just to pop back into that Team Foundation server administration console. And right from within the administration console, you'll see the address of your application tier. And so that's the address that we actually need to plug in here. So we just need to type in the server name, and the rest of the details are already populated. We're going to use the defaults here. We'll click on OK, and close and connect. Now we're connected to Team Foundation Server, but we don't have a team project yet. So the next thing we'll do is we'll create a new team project. And we'll give the project a name. If you want, you can give it a description as well. select the process template, you'll see there's new versions of the MSF for Agile, MSF for CMMI. And by default, we're going to set up a SharePoint site, and we'll set up a source control folder as well. Say next, click on finish. And this next setup will take about probably 15 to 20 minutes. It's just depending on the speed of your hardware. And once that's all finished, then this is a great way to see if we've done everything correctly. So now if we tell it to go ahead and launch the process guidance, then we'll be connecting to the first SharePoint site that we've set up with this instance. And so give it your administrative password. And you can just add this as a trusted site if you'd like. And there we go. So we now have a SharePoint site that's set up that's integrated with Team Foundation Server. Let's see if those work items work. So if we open up work items and go down to Team Queries, we can take a look at all the open work items that are assigned to me. And so this should give us just a list of those default work items that every team project gets by default. Sure enough, there's my work items. This is looking great. Likewise, let's just make sure that our source control works. So we'll double click on source control. And sure enough, there's my source control. So it looks like everything's all set up and ready to go if I want to use Visual Studio Team System 2010. Now, what if I wanted to use Visual Studio 2008 to connect to Team Foundation Server 2010? That's supported as well, but the situation is a little bit different. So when you add your server, you're actually going to be typing the entire URL to that application tier. And so here again, just give it the administrative password if you're prompted. And now we should be connected to the machine. Now, you can do most operations within Team Explorer 2008 connecting to TFS 2010. Like, you can work with your work items, you can work with your source control. The only things you won't be able to do are things that are new for Team Foundation Server 2010 or things that have changed. So you won't be able to create a new team project, for example. You'll still need to do that with TFS 2000, the Team Explorer 2010 client. You'll also won't get support for things like hierarchical work items or configuring builds the new way. We are working on a hotfix that will allow you to do a lot more of those capabilities with Team Explorer 2008, but that's not available today in Beta 1. So once again, don't forget to visit the post for this 10.4 episode. It has all the links that you'll need in order to follow along at home and get going with this. And also be sure to visit the 10.4 homepage at channel9.msdn.com/shows/10-4. Thanks again, and we hope you enjoy Beta 1.